Watching Mass from home on a computer is lame. So don't get me wrong, Father Don and I encouraged you to do that during the lockdown, and we still encourage you to do it. If you're not able to make the 100 number in the church or even the capacity here for the, I think, the 143 cars in the parking lot, we still want you to live stream and watch from home, because it can be of some comfort. It can be even of spiritual benefit. You know, and realizing that of, you know, Father Don and I talking, we don't see us ever not again live streaming a Sunday Mass. For those that are unable to come even moving forward because maybe they are sick, they're not well. Those that are just homebound in nursing homes, they still feel connected to the parish. But watching Mass on a computer is not a substitute. There is no substitute. It's lame, it's dull, and it lacks a punch. And the primary reason it's lame, it lacks a punch, is because of what the church gives us today to celebrate. The solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Jesus, or in Latin we say Corpus Christi. A feast that began in the 13th century that focuses solely on the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So I want to look at our gospel today, the famous, you know, the account of John chapter 6 there. In verse 51, where we pick up, Jesus says that I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. So Jesus begins by identifying himself as the bread from heaven. So from our first reading of Deuteronomy, of as the Israelites are wandering in the desert, that God gave bread from heaven, the manna, to sustain them. But Jesus goes on. He doesn't stop there. He then goes on by calling us to not just believe in him, but to eat his flesh. And the Greek word that Jesus uses here, or the Greek word that Jesus uses that John records in his gospel, is of very high significance, because it's an unusual word that's used for eat in the New Testament. The Greek word here is trogon. Other times when the disciples say Jesus broke bread and he ate with the disciples, it doesn't use this word trogon. Trogon literally means to gnaw, to chew. It's a very graphic word that Jesus uses. And so he's saying, literally eat my flesh. And the disciples in verse 22, the following verse, or 52, says, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And they use that trogon word again. In other words, they're taking Jesus literally of what he says. And Jesus knows that they're taking him literally. And because they're taking him literally, they're horrified. They're confused. They're getting upset. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They ask. So Jesus knows that they're hearing him literally, and he doesn't back down. He doubles down. He actually makes a statement that's more concrete. He says, amen, amen, unless you eat my flesh, again, the word trogon, and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. The Jews again question him. They take him literally. Even to the point where in verse 60, which we don't hear in our gospel today, but it's a couple verses after where our gospel ends. In verse 60, his even disciples, those that have been walking with him for a couple years, they turn to each other and say, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Jesus hears that they're taking it literally, and he doubles down again to the point where they end up leaving. And it's really important to notice the action that Jesus doesn't take. As his disciples are leaving because they're taking him literally, he doesn't say, hey guys, you know all those other times in the gospel that I spoke metaphorically to you? I'm not speaking, like I was just kind of kidding there. Like you're misunderstanding me. I'm not saying this literally. You know kind of how I said I'm the light of the world? How that was kind of metaphorically? You guys are taking me literally right now. You shouldn't be taking me literally. He doesn't do that. He doesn't stop them. They leave. Jesus knows that they hear him literally, and he doesn't correct them. Jesus does not mix his words. The church, over the course of 2,000 years of history, has not mixed her words. Saints who have given their life for the Eucharist, like Saint Tarsicius, a little altar server in the 4th century, a little boy that was asked, is there anybody that could go bring the Eucharist to prisoners? And he says, I'll go. And in the process of going, as the priest charged him to protect the Eucharist, as it was hostile out where he was going, they wanted him to hand over the Eucharist. He would not do it. And he was killed holding the body of Jesus in his hands. Up and down the centuries, over and over again, saints have given their lives for protecting Jesus in the Eucharist. Underneath their altar, if you saw inside OLM, underneath their altar in the reliquary, many of those saints died protecting the Eucharist and the true presence in the Eucharist. And yet, where we find ourselves today in 2020 is that for most Catholics, they would say that in-person Mass here in the church is lame. There's a huge study done, Pew Research study did a huge study, it was last year, August of last year or July of last year, and indicated that of self-described Catholics, those have said, yeah, I'm Catholic, of self-described Catholics, 31% believe in the church's teaching of transubstantiation. That transubstantiation is just a word that teach that that the substance of bread and the substance of wine change and become the body and blood of Jesus. The accidents remain, the substance changes. It still looks, tastes, smells, feels like bread, like wine, but the substance changes. And the only way we say that is because Jesus says so. And you take that number even, you know, further, which the study does, the Pew Research, of those that are younger, 40 years and younger, those that are 40 and younger, 80% believe that the Eucharist is just a symbol. 80%. It's an indication that something has gone wrong. Something is going wrong. Like there's a failure somewhere. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, this is a priest can raise his hand first. I can, of the reason, like, I'm part of the problem for that. 80%, though, of those 40 and younger believe that the Eucharist is just a symbol. And so on this Feast of Corpus Christi, I just want to share a couple tidbits, reminders, or important things for us to keep in mind as we move forward and as we're returning back to Mass. This is not an all-inclusive list, of course. I got to limit it somewhere, especially because even though I have some sunscreen on, like last week I got a little red, so I got to keep it somewhat brief. The first I want us to keep in mind is that Mass is not something that we watch, which is somewhat, I mean, I am literally standing in the middle of a parking lot on a stage, but Mass is not something we watch. The church asks that we are full, active participants at Mass. And what the church does not mean by that is that there's a lector and you fully, actively participate by bringing up the gifts. Those are good things. We do that. We need. But that's not what the church means when she says she desires the faithful to be full and active participants at Mass. The church says, the church earnestly desires that Christ's faithful, when present at this mystery of faith, should not be there as strangers or silent spectators. On the contrary, through a good understanding of the rites and prayers, they should take part in the sacred action, conscious of what they are doing with devotion and full collaboration. offering the immaculate victim not only through the hands of the priests, but also together with him, they should learn to offer themselves. So to sum that up, the people of God at Mass are not attendees. I know that can be, sometimes we use that language, oh yeah, I attended this Mass, or we don't attend Mass. Like as if, like you're here to watch something like a sporting event or a concert. When one comes to Mass, they are to actively join in the sacred action, the church says. And what's that action? The action of Jesus offering himself to the Father for our salvation. And it says that the faithful should learn to offer themselves at Mass when they come. So the temptation is for us to think that we're watching Mass. And it brings me to the second point here, is just an overall, I think, misunderstanding that we can have about the Mass. And that brings me to, you know, there's a YouTube personality, vlogger, right, that he does all these prank videos, hidden camera videos, and one of the funny ones that I think he has is he'll go up in Walmart or a store or even outside, and he'll get right up next to a person. So if he's in Walmart, he'll be in the aisle, and he'll stand and walk up right next to the person as he's grabbing something off the shelf. And as the person is standing right next to him, as he's grabbing it off the shelf, he says, "Do you know what the weather's supposed to be tomorrow?" And the person turns and says, "I think it's going to be nice. Yeah, it's supposed to be like today." And he'll say, "Excuse me?" And they'll turn back and say, "You asked how the weather's going to be tomorrow, and it's going to be nice." And then he'll turn abruptly and show his ear and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was on Bluetooth. I wasn't talking to you." I think that's funny. So when at Mass, the priest, for the majority of the Mass, is not talking to you. That's not to say that to be rude. It's just the fact. The priest, for the majority of the Mass, especially for the Eucharistic prayer, is not talking to you. So, I mean, it's kind of ironic that this week on Corpus Christi, half of you are I'm facing the same direction as you. And this is how, up until 50 years ago, this is how people attended Mass. Some of you who are older, like Father Don, right, knows that's how all Mass was always celebrated. The priest would face the same direction as the people. What it is the priest is gathering the prayers of the people who are behind him, with him. And he's offering the sacrifice to God the Father through Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And actually, even the way the Missal is written today, you know, Mass can still be celebrated. We would say ad orientem, facing the east, as I am right now. And our Eastern Catholic brothers and sisters, they still celebrate Mass that way. Orthodox Christians still celebrate their liturgy that way. And parts of the Mass where the priest does talk to the people in the dialogue, he turns from the altar, he turns and says, "Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father." And then he turns back, facing the same direction as the people. What's the idea? The idea is that the priest is gathering the prayers of the people, of your sacrifice. You're offering your whole self to the Father in Jesus' perfect sacrifice at Calvary for the salvation of the world, for our salvation. And so whether the priest, you know, in the church, whether we face this way or this way, that's the idea. That's what happens. That's the Mass. And I think sometimes it can be a misunderstanding. Maybe just one last point of to help us, I think, grow in understanding and of the Eucharist, and is what we do and how we act in church is really important. Attending Mass in the cars is not ideal. It's not the most sacred place. Even celebrating Mass up here, Father Don and I talking before the Mass, we're wondering if it's even like safe because it's windy today. And we have to be careful to guard the Eucharist. We can't have the Eucharist flying all over the place. It's a real concern. It's a concern for me right now before I'm celebrating Mass. But how we act in church is important. To think about the next time we go into the church, I see oftentimes we are just walking all over the church, walking around, and we're not genuflecting to the tabernacle. Or if we can't genuflect, bowing. Why? Because the true presence of Jesus is in the tabernacle. Is Jesus everywhere? Of course he's everywhere. But on this Feast of Corpus Christi, it's important to note that there's nowhere Jesus is present like he's present in the Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. The other thing with that is people are always watching. And what I mean by that is children are always watching us. And if we're just walking around haphazardly around church without genuflecting when we cross through the tabernacle, or bowing if we can't genuflect, like, what's this thing? Like, it doesn't match. I believe that Jesus is true presence in the Eucharist, but I'm not, like, I'm just walking by it with no thought in my mind. I think that number of 80% is only going to increase if we don't are conscientious of how we act, realizing that others, and I know there's many altar servers here. Some of our altar servers who have done a great job as we've been retraining the altar servers, Father Don and I and the leadership team, of being very conscientious of wanting to bring the reverence and mystery back to the liturgy, or increasing that to the liturgy. Because it's important. So it helps us to give reverence and helps us with the knowledge that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. And so as we move forward in a world that's increasingly unstable, in a world that's confused, in a world that's hurting, in a world that just doesn't know the answer, we've got to be more convicted that the answer is a person. That Jesus is the answer. And policies and legislation, that's all well and good and it's important, but the problem is the human heart, and the answer is Jesus. And as he gives himself to us to feed on, to consume him, so as to become more like him. Towards the end of the gospel, Jesus says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him." That's why the church insists that we receive the Eucharist as frequently as possible. Because when we receive him, we become more like him. And brothers and sisters, we're in desperate need to become more like him, to be more like Christ. I need the help. You need the help. The world needs shining examples. The world is crying out right now. So let us become more like him, conscious that we're receiving him when we receive the Eucharist.